winning team all season long. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Well, what a start it was to things in the League Cup today. Rangers 2, Morton 1. It went right to the end, but Rangers pulled through with a victory. They're through to the last eight. They'll be in the quarterfinals, and we'll see across the weekend who else will join them. And Aberdeen, who of course beat Stirling Albion 2-1 last night. There are plenty of 3 o'clock kickoffs as well. Let's go around the grounds and get some team news and build up. Let's start in Paisley. David Friel watching St Mirren Motherwell.
Yeah, Andrew, I know I'm biased sitting in the Paisley sunshine here, but I think this might be the tie of the round. All the ingredients here to be an absolute cracker. The pitch is perfect, and we've also got two good teams coming into the game in good form. St Mirren obviously have 6 points from two league games, Motherwell have four. And we also have two managers, Stephen Robinson and Stuart Kettlewell, who have been extremely bullish about their hopes in this tournament after topping their group sections. I think they've made it clear they want to be challenging a lot of stages, want to be getting semi-finals and finals. Well, their Fair Play Cup hopes are going on the line today, so much at stake, and a place in the quarter-final up for grabs. Motherwell lost here in January, but prior to that were unbeaten in their previous 8 visits to Paisley, so they have a good record here. And obviously with Stephen Robinson going up against his former club in Motherwell, there's always added spice to this fixture. So as I said, I think this will be a really, really good game. St Mirren, unsurprisingly, have stuck with the team that beat Dundee last week. Captain Mark O'Hara, he's still out injured. It's going to be a 3-4-2-1 formation. Zach Hemming in goals, Marcus Fraser, Alec Gogic and Richard Taylor at the back. Midfield 4 of Ryan Strain, Keanu Backus, Caelan Boyd-Munson, Scott Tanzer, with Conor McMenamin and Greg Kilty in behind Mikael Mandron, who leads the line against his former club. Subs for St Mirren are Minsky, Kenny Bolton, Dunn, Flynn, Olasanya, Jameson Grieve and Namani. As for Motherwell, few changes here. Shane Blaney is in for Papi Suari, and Davor Drafkowski replaces 16-year-old Lennon Miller. Lennon Miller also been very, very good. His dad's actually just behind me, Lee, sitting here watching the game for another broadcaster. I'm not really that surprised he's taken him out of the fire lane, Stuart Kettlewell. You know, he's been a very, very good player so far this season, but he is only 16. This is going to be a pretty hectic cup tie, so maybe it is right just to rest him. Surprisingly though, Mika Berrett, who came on against Hibs last week and was so good, he stays on the bench. So it's a 3-4-1-2 for Motherwell. Liam Kelly in goals. Back to your Paul McGinn, Davis McGabby and Dan Casey, Stephen O'Donnell, Callum Slattery, Davos Drarovsky and Shane Blaney across the middle, with Blair Spittle in behind Conor Wilkinson and Theo Bear. Subs for Motherwell are Oxburgh, Lamy, Efford McGinley, Wilson Ferry, Miller Garcia and Beerett. And the referee is Willie Collum, and there is no VAR here today.
Tie of the round, says David Friel. Would you agree, Hugh?
Well, the Kilmarnock fans might disagree with that, with Celtic to come to Rugby Park tomorrow. But I do take David's point that it's an outstanding all-premiership game. The crowds this season have been first class. I think there'll be another big one at Paisley today. And you've got two managers in Stephen Robinson and Stuart Kettlewell who are really on top of their game. Therefore, it's very, very hard to call. It's just a matter of gut instinct. And for me, my gut instinct says St Mirren.
Yeah, two teams in good form. Looking forward to that one. Let's go to the Tony Macaroni Arena. Livingston against Ayr United. It's Dave Galloway.
Well, Livingston may have home advantage and be a league above Ayr United, Andrew, but manager Davy Martindale insists there's not much between these two teams. Last weekend's 4-0 loss at Tybrox will have been quickly swept aside. That's the sort of result that will probably happen a good few times this season. Olivia are always tough to play against on their own patch. Their goalless draw against Aberdeen here recently highlighted just that. Ayr, though, come here in confident mood, having got their first championship win on the board last weekend against Inverness. And they've shown this season they have what it takes to see off a top flight side, having won 2-1 away to St Johnston in the group stage. And boss Lee Bullen is relishing what he sees as an exciting challenge here this afternoon. To the teams then, and a couple of changes for Livingston. In come James Penrice and Curtis Guthrie. Out drop Jamie Brandon and Mo Sangari. So it's Shamal George in goals, a back three of Louis De Lucas, Ayo Obalai and Mikey Devlin. Across the middle, James Penrice, Stephen Kelly, Jason Holt, Andrew Shinney and Christian Montano. Up top they will have Curtis Guthrie and Joel Newbley. The subs, Hamilton, Bradley, Boys, Mackay, Welsh Hayes, Anderson, Pittman, Lowell and Brandon. no fewer than five changes for the honest men. Robbie Much, Frankie Masonda, Ollie Penbury, Akeem Rose and Aidan McGeady are in. Out drop Charlie Albinson, Franny Armati, Ben Dempsey, Sam Ashford and Fraser Bryden. So it's Robbie Much in goals. At the back, Nick McAllister, George Stanger, Sean McGinty and Paddy Redding. In the middle, Mark McKenzie, Paul Smith, Frankie Masonda, Ollie Penbury and Aidan McGeady, with Jamaican forward Akeem Rose leading the line. Subs for them, Albinson, Aoui, Watret, Armati, Bryden, Tomlinson, Ecropoint, Ashford and Logan Chalmers signed today back on loan from Dundee United. There's no VAR here, but Kevin Clancy is the referee.
Yeah, Premiership against Championship game there. And another one at the Excelsior Stadium, Airdrieonians against Ross County. Lindsay Heron watching that one.
Yeah, well, if there's one place Ross County might have wanted to avoid, Andrew, in the last 16, it's New Broomfield. The Diamonds have been sparkling in the Viaplay Cup, winning all of their group games, including against Dundee. And that comes on the back of Premiership scalps in each of the last two seasons in this competition, in the shape of St Mirren and Motherwell. They've got a bit of backbone too, coming from a goal down last week to beat Partick Thistle to record their first win since returning to the Championship. Unfortunately though, of course, Reece McCabe hasn't made it after suffering a knee injury in that game. But the player boss is promising to have a real go here, insisting he doesn't do a containing game. Murray Aitken is the man who will come in for the manager, and Gabby McGill gets a slot in place of Josh O'Connor. So they'll line up in a 4-4-2 formation. Goalkeeper is Josh Ray, a back four of Craig Watson, Callum Fordyce, Aaron Taylor-Sinclair and Cammy Ballantyne. In the middle, it's Murray Aitken, Adam Frizzell, Gabby McGill and Dean McMaster. And the front two are Callum Gallagher and Lewis McGregor. On the bench for the Diamonds, Davy Hutton, Hancock, Josh O'Connor, Todorov, Dunlop, Telfer, Cassidy and Fellows. Well, as far as County are concerned, they've only been to the last eight once since they famously won the trophy back in 2015-16. So Malcolm Mackay will definitely see this as a major opportunity to go deep this season. He makes one change and it's an enforced one, with Kyle Turner coming in for Jan Danda, who was injured in last week's win over St Johnstone. They're also going on a 4-4-2 today. Ross Laidlaw, of course, in goal. A back four of James Brown, Jack Baldwin, Ryan Leake and George Harmon. In the middle, it's Kyle Turner, Conor Randall, Victor Luturi and Josh Sims, with Simon Murray and Jordan White up front. On the bench for the Staggies, it's Murray, Sheaf, Henderson, McKinnon, Tilson, Brophy, Smith and Reid. And our referee today, who doesn't have any VAR, of course, is Stephen McLean.
Well, more build-up to those games and plenty of reaction to come from Ibrox next.
Scottish football's league leader. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
10 minutes away from the 3 o'clock kickoffs in the Viaplay Cup last 16. St Mirren, Motherwell, Airdrieonians, Ross County and Livingston Air United. We'll see who join Rangers in the draw for the next round after their 2-1 win against Morton today. And of course it was a 2-1 win for Aberdeen against Stirling Albion last night. We'll keep you up to date on those games. Let's go back to Ibrox though. Roger Hanna is down speaking to Michael Beale, and we'll bring some of that to you in the not too distant future. But let's speak to Alex Ray. Alex, what is the biggest takeaway from the game for you today?
Well, I would say that Matondo was very positive in the first half. Andrew, I'm looking at various players who get an opportunity to showcase what they could do today. I don't think there was anyone who actually took that opportunity to say to the manager, I should be part of that game. So I think overall it was an underwhelming performance from the Rangers team today. From Morton point of view, I thought they were very well organised and stayed in the game right up to the dying seconds, and they'll feel as if they gave a very good account of themselves today. But you know, the one thing I was saying to Roger during the half-time break was that the actual subs are actually making big impacts. If you look at last week as well, when they made the changes on 78 minutes, a couple of them managed to get goals, and then obviously you had Danilo coming on late on today and getting the match winner. That's him, got a couple of goals in his last about three games, I think it is now. So he's starting to kind of showcase what he can do as well. So, you know, I think overall, you know, they're in the next round of the heart, but I can't imagine that Michael Beale will come out after the game and say he was happy with the overall performance.
Yeah, you say, you know, the changes are being made and they're working. Does the focus then switch to essentially the starting lineups and how the team are being set up to go out there?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, we obviously touched on Tavernier, Barisic, Cantwell and Raskin, not available. Ryan Jack as well wasn't there today. So these guys are pivotal to the way that Rangers actually try to play. I understood when they went back to a back three, you have to give the manager credit for that, because what they did is they went with Lundstrom at right centre back, which allowed them to get on the ball very comfortable and then throw another body forward, and ultimately they managed to get the goals which actually won the tie. But as I said, I don't think the performance was anything what they were actually looking for. I think they were coming in here today, some of these guys would be coming into the squad thinking, right, OK, we've got an opportunity to rack up a decent score here, generate plenty of confidence. But it didn't quite feel that. The balance, the way that the actual team performed today didn't really warrant any of that positivity prior to the game that, they've been hoping for.
The positive Michael Beale can take is that he managed to rest the likes of James Tavernier and Borna Barisic, Todd Cantwell and Nicholas Raskin, got the win heading into what is a big game next week.
Yeah, and if you think about the performances through the week, I always felt as if there would be opportunities to mix it up today, and he did that, and I would imagine that all four or five of the guys will most certainly come back into the mix against PSV here on Tuesday night. And again, it's who does he go with from the rest, really. I think Cifuentes will most certainly be there. I think Ryan Jack will probably come into the middle of the park, and then you'll have Raskin as well, Cantwell most certainly at the top end of the pitch. For the amount of firepower they brought in, the kind of combinations, I just felt as if there would be a lot more at the top end of the pitch, and I think that's where they're actually struggling. They construct the ball into that final third, and there's just not enough end product, and when the ball does come in, they're not ruthless enough. Even if you go back to the opening game against Cervetti, the chances that they created there, which was encouraging and positive, they just didn't put the game to bed. And it's one of the things I feel as if Rangers are lacking at the moment is that cutting edge, ruthless, and then just put teams to bed.
Yeah, a lot of money spent on Lammers and Dessers, both started today, but the man that looked most lively in the first half was Rabbi Matondo.
Well, without doubt, he was the only bright spot of the first half. If you take Cantwell out of that team, they lack a heartbeat, and he was sorely missed today. Matondo, it remains to be seen whether he's in the Rangers squad for the game against the PSV Eindhoven. He wasn't in the UEFA squad for Servette, but he definitely added another dimension to the side. I thought that Hadji did that as well when he came on late in the game. Substitutions being made by Michael Beale to prove that those who he'd started with were not up to it.
Alex, was there an energy missed in midfield with no Cantwell and Raskin?
Yeah, I think when you look at the positivity of the opening games of the season, it's most certainly came for the two guys. Cantwell can play in his eight as well. Raskin can play there, and Cantwell can step forward one. So you most certainly do. I wholeheartedly agree with you there. I thought out of the substitutes that come on today, I thought Hadji showed a real intent. He looked as if he was hungry. He wanted to get on the ball, and some of the actions he did were really positive. And that's what you're looking for as a Rangers fans in here today. They're looking for guys to go and take the game to lesser opposition. And he most certainly will enhance his chances of playing more game time. Whether he's has done enough to start on Tuesday, I'm not quite sure. But the one thing, he was most certainly a standout when he came off the bench.
Well, thank you to Alex. We'll let you get on your way because the 3 o'clock kickoffs are coming up next.
Action as it happens. And your reaction from five on the open line. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Just about to get underway across the 3 o'clock kickoffs in the Viaplay Cup. St Mirren against Motherwell, Airdrieonians against Ross County, and Livingston against Ayr United. What one sticks out to you? Is it St Mirren, Motherwell?
St Mirren, Motherwell, for obvious reasons, but I think both of them have started reasonably well this season. St Mirren looking good again under Stephen Robinson, but Motherwell, I'm surprised by the way, new signing, Boyett scored last week on the bench for Motherwell, but I think that's the pick of the bunch. Yeah, he looked good player.
Yeah, it looked really, he changed the game. I'm sure Kettlewell might just be bedding him in, he's a young lad, but I tell you what, he made a big impression when he come on. Unfortunately, I missed it. I'd left the game by that time, but I caught the highlights. I think there's three very potential good games there. Livingston Air United, Air United are decent under Lee Bullen, and how Andy forgets his name as a manager there's beyond me. And then
beat the pundit, Hugh. He forgot his name.
I couldn't believe it, Hugh. That was just one of the nights. And you look at our club there, Airdrie, they're in good form. Ross County, I think, will just have a wee bit too much, but I think that'll be a good game for Lindsay.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Goal flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy. Planning your holiday? Get essential health advice and medication before you travel.
Yes, underway now in the 3 o'clock kickoff. So that means I need to get some predictions from you three across the desk, starting with you, Hugh.
I am taking St Mirren to defeat Motherwell, Livy to beat Lee Bullen and Air United. And I'm going for Malky Mackay's Ross County to be away winners at Airdrie. I think they've tightened up at the back substantially, Ross County. And they're good for goals as well, as Celtic found out when they beat them 4-2 at Celtic Park. So for me, you have two homes and one away.
Not a good place to be, but I'm the exact same as you on this one. I agree. I know that's all the favourites this afternoon, but I can't see there being any shocks. We may have entertaining games in there, but I think St Mirren will beat Motherwell, Livy will beat Ayr, and Ross County will do the job against Airdrie.
I think I'm going a little bit different. I think St Mirren and Motherwell will go all the way. Penalty kicks, I can't decide who's the best penalty kick takers, but I wish both sides all the very best.
Sure they'll appreciate that.
Yeah, I fancy Livingston to beat Ayr in a tight game. My cup upset, I fancy Airdrieonians this afternoon.
Airdrieonians to beat Ross County. They've had a good start to the season under Rhys McCabe, who is injured for this one. Of course, player manager has been a real success.
And they will
so
miss
far.
Him. They will miss Rhys McCabe. Nothing he can do about it. He's injured. But there we have it. The Dazzler goes against the grain.
Mm-hmm.
Well, bit of early pressure from Ross County there. Simon Murray plays in Kyle Turner, but the flag goes up.
Yeah, Ross County gave a good account of themselves at Celtic Park, followed it up last week. A good result.
The thing,
Daz has went against them.
Look, the reason I totally agree. I think Ross County, I'm a big Ross County fan, but I think the pitch plays a part this afternoon. I really do.
Why? Because it's Astro.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think Airdrie
good,
at home,
decent Astro.
It's a good Astro, right. Yeah.
I know, but it doesn't matter. But Airdrie play training that, I think
it surely does matter. It's a bad Astro.
It gives them a little bit of a, it's a cup game. There's always cup shocks. You look at this afternoon, did we think that Rangers would only beat Morton 2-1? Absolutely not. You look at last night, Aberdeen 2-1 against Stirling Albion. So as much as you go, yeah, it should be 3-4, that doesn't plan out that way. I just think Ross County will have a difficult afternoon.
Right, before we get any goals, let's do this.
The first half teaser. With the ScottishSun.co.uk/football. For the best football news and opinion online.
Straightforward, this one. Can you name the top five highest scoring Scots in the English Premier League? Tell me the top five highest scoring Scots in the history of the English Premier League.
Well, I'll tell you what, I think it's going to be a race to the podium. I think the listeners out there will have this one in the bag. So let's see how quickly you can get that. Remember, tweet us at ClydeSSB. Make sure all your answers are in the one tweet as well, and you could be in the leaderboard come half time for the first half teaser. Mark and Gordon conferring over there.
Well, Mark's looking at me, and I've got to put my hands up here, Andrew, and say I can only apologise to Hugh. I wasn't listening, so I don't really know the...
I'll give you the question again.
Yeah, because Mark's get the first two wrong.
No, he's got one right, one wrong. Can you name the top five highest scoring Scots in the history of the English Premier League?
English Premier League, so what's that? 1992 onwards.
Yeah.
Right, okay.
Right, got that.
What was that, about 10 years before you went down south?
Don't know, mate. I wasn't listening to you either. I'm too busy.
I've got a belter. Might be. What about that one?
Interestingly, down south, an early goal for Bournemouth, 1-0 up against Liverpool, a quick start.
Not Jurgen Klopp, it's not all going his way. Can't get the players into Anfield that he wanted. You know, when a pl- player turns down a move to Liverpool because he wants to play for Chelsea. It's a bit of a dig at you.
It's bad when it's a public denial, yeah, as well, isn't, yeah, it? Do you, yeah, have that at all? Breaking, chasing after a player and turn you down at the last minute?
Many. I mean, Grant Gillespie had tried to sign a Breaking, and I thought we were almost getting there when he was coming. I think he was in Ireland, was he? And then turned in at the last minute. That could have made all the difference.
Did you actually go from Liverpool getting turned in
to
Wilson and Breaking?
All relative.
It's almost the same fees and everything.
No, let me think about that. What are you saying, Mark? Yeah, is it £40 a week or is it 35?
The line's plus breaking expenses. Up. I can't hear you. But listen, Chelsea are a joke just now. The way that they're conducting, yeah, their business. And I mean, the rules are changing. They're giving players 8 year contracts and 9 year contracts, but apparently is that coming to an end, yeah, next season?
Yeah. I think that's a UEFA rule and not a Premier League rule.
Yeah, well, to stop all that. But Jurgen Klopp, is nothing worse when you say something as a manager and then it comes back
what
to bite.
What did I tell you about Malky
got
McKay?
An early goal. Flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy. Airdrie 0, Ross County 1, and it's Kyle Turner. He was played through earlier in the match by Simon Murray. He was offside at that point, but this time he scores. It was a curled right-footed shot into the corner, and Ross County have an early lead
that
against
pitch.
Their championship opponent.
Pitch might have caught them out.
I think they've been training a pitch in the fly up at Dingwall. That's a great start, you've got to say. See, when you're the favourites, the Premier League side, and you're getting in against a Championship side, there's always dodgy games there. You've got to go off to a good start, and Turner's certainly given them that.
Scored last week, did he? Kyle,
yeah,
Turner,
so,
yeah. Yeah, I think he came off the bench today and scored right foot curling, so it sounded similar.
There are, of course, games down the divisions as well. In Scotland, Clyde with an early goal, 1-0 up against Peterhead. Fraser Malcolm on 5 minutes with the goal there.
Our old friend and friend of the programme, Jim Duffy, left Clyde last night. His job as director of football, he resigned his post with immediate effect. So I know he'll be listening. So good luck, James, wherever you go next.
I tell you what, one thing about, you talk about guys in this show, Big Marv, I love him, Martin as I call him, he's a fantastic defensive coach. Have you noticed that? Really works well with his team. He gets them organised, hard to break down. You know what I mean? He's got that back four solid with the goalkeeper. I went down to Hamilton the other day to watch him play training. Unfortunately, he wasn't there, so it's obviously he's not been doing it this week.
Queen of the South 0 and an Athletic 1, an Effie Ambrose own goal. Oh, and what
on
about this
pitch.
For a start? Goal flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy. Airdrie 0, Ross County 2, Jordan White with the goal this time. And, well, what a start that is.
Yeah, the Dazzlers turned into me.
It's terrible.
When you go away to someone like Airdrie, you know, who everything is on the up and positive, the start you want is exactly what Ross County's done. Eliminates any kind of shock. I know we're only 7 minutes in, but if Ross County have to slip up now, then Malky McKay should be given the sack.
I knew Airdrie would miss Reece McCabe, but I didn't think it would be so evident so early.
This could be a sore one for them. But Ross County have looked good. I said it moments ago, looked good at Celtic Park in an attacking sense. And then last week, so from Malky McKay's, you know, dreadful kind of end to the season last year, and I know they survived, started it very well this year.
See, to be fair, Andrew, I've got to be honest, I didn't really fancy Airdrie, right? I only went against day two because day two, I didn't want to go, yeah, I'll go for the same. But the game's not finished yet. If Airdrie can get another goal back into this game. But
so do you you thought it was going to stay level between St Mirren and Motherwell, yeah?
Yeah. With
M&D Green Pharmacy. St Mirren 1, Motherwell 0, and it's Caelan Boyd-Munce with the goal. And with Mark O'Hara out for the next couple of weeks, Caelan Boyd-Munce is the man in midfield that's replacing him, and he's cropped up with a goal.
To be fair, you deserve a goal if you're stuck with a name like Boyd-Munce.
Well, I was watching a little bit of their training the other day there, Hugh, and they were getting Munce on the ball quite often. And that's true.
You're talking Munce.
No. I was watching St Mirren a little bit of training.
Where were you watching St Mirren?
I was in the golf course, so I watched it through the fence.
That doesn't sound that creepy, does it?
Well,
he's in the golf course, peering through a fence.
If anything was, I had played
that,
it well.
That sounds like you'd
I played at Ralston Golf
Sliced
Club.
Sliced one into the hedges and you're looking for your ball
tee.
And then realised.
It was a tee. You walk back to the tee and the fence you could see through, and I stood and watched St Mirren training for about 10 minutes.
10 minutes?
Yeah.
And Nobody's months, behind you saying, hurry up, mate.
What were the rest of your four ball thinking?
Have you ever heard the play through, gentlemen? Munce was on the ball and I thought, he's a real danger.
And how did you know it was Boyd Munce that was on the ball?
Because I heard the manager saying, Boydie Munce.
That's his nickname.
Yeah,
I don't making believe it longer than his actual.
That's fine.
Traditionally, how nicknames work. Yeah,
adding letters.
That's what I thought. I can't believe he's adding on a few letters.
You would be an absolute sensation on the telly. On Would I Lie to You?
This is a true story.
A cracking goal by all accounts as well. Fell to him at the edge of the box, top corner. Liam Kelly had no chance.
Great start from St Mirren there, and great for him. I did see them at Easter Road that day against Hibs, and I thought they were terrific.
The way you said "I did" makes it sound as if your story before was nonsense.
No, my story before.
Yeah,
look, I did actually see them.
There's a lot of truth in the story before. I didn't see him shouting "Boydie Munce," right? I made that up, but I did watch St Mirren train.
We're all shocked at that.
Oh, some great insight there, eh? And the week anyway, of Gordon
the good thing is that we're up and running and we're lively. You know, we had an amazing game at Ibrox where Morton took all the credit but went out of the tournament, and now we're getting goals all over the shop, and it's a lively old day.
Yeah, three goals in our featured matches. St Mirren 1-0 up against Motherwell, and Ross County with that quick start 2-0 up against Airdrie. As I say, there is games down the divisions. There's only one in the Championship because there was a lot of Championship involvement in this round of the League Cup. Arbroath and Queen's Park in action. It's 0-0 between those sides. Annan, the only side that have scored in League One, 1-0 up against Queen of the South, and Clyde, the only team that have scored in League 2, 1-0 up against Peterhead. There was a great chance for Josh Sims there, set up by Simon Murray, 16 yards out, just didn't catch it properly. So Ross County really putting the pressure on for a third.
This sounds like the definition of a going over. So Airdrie will need to gather their composure. I hope that Lindsay Hearn's got an abacus there with him.
Yeah, Airdrie are known for playing nice football under Reese McCabe at times, but you know, when you are a team down the divisions that do try to play football, you can sometimes get caught out when you're playing against a team in the Premiership. It doesn't quite work against a higher quality at times.
Depends if you're a very attacking minded team. It's okay, it's playing nice football, possession's brilliant. If you're a very attacking minded team and you're playing against a team that's maybe got a little bit more quality than you, that's when it can cause you problems, because if you lose the ball, then the opposition seem to break you down. They've got off to a great start. That's a brilliant start. I didn't expect that. And don't let be kidded, these two guys standing my right didn't expect that either.
I have a theory about I've got a theory about Ross County. When you are minutes away from relegation, as they were last season, if Partick Thistle had a greater composure, Partick Thistle would be in the Premiership and Ross County be in the Championship. I don't think you then get survivor guilt. I think you get survivor inspiration. We're not going back there. Not going back there at all. And it's been a feature of them since the season started, Ross County. They're more adventurous. They've got better players. Marky Mackay's recruited well.
Goal flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy.
Livingston 1, Ayr United 0, and it's Joel Nubley from close range. So the goals are flying in our featured matches. They all have a goal, and this time it's Livingston 1-0 up against their Championship opposition.
Well, Nubley, how long can Livy hold on to him? You know, lots going on at Livy, on and off the park. There's a bit of internal wrangling going on at boardroom level. Davy Martindale's had his budget for the season cut quite substantially. Nubley, I'm always surprised that nobody comes in for him, because what a handful he is. And the window, of course, has got 2 weeks left to run.
I don't think David Martindale has made any secret this summer that he wouldn't mind seeing Joel Nubley move on, but saying it for the betterment of his career, that he thinks Joel Nubley can go on and play at a higher level.
Works both ways. Nubley gets a move to probably a club in the lower regions of the English league, and Livy get a fee, and they could use the money.
Finally, a chance for Airdrie in the early stages. Callum Gallagher plays in Gabby McGill, but Jack Baldwin recovered brilliantly to win the ball and stop that shot. It's also a penalty claim for Ayr, but that one is turned down.
Is there VAR at Livy today?
I don't believe so.
No,
they would say no on the basis of cost. That's where I agree with the point that Mark Wilson made earlier in the programme. You've got one competition and there are one set of rules for some teams and another set for another. I mean, look at Ibrox today. Two penalty kicks and VAR gave both. The referee was not giving either.
Is it not more acceptable because essentially it's agreed between the teams that are playing, though? If the two teams come together and say, we don't want VAR for this game, then they can't go and complain that another game has it. I get where you're coming from, but you can't have any real complaints and then say, well, we should have had a penalty and we didn't because of VAR, when you've been part of the agreement process to not have it.
And these agreements are being reached because of finance. But I just think, you know, it's like the subject of synthetic pitches for me. I think the SPFL should have more about them and say that, look, okay, in Championship, League One, League Two, synthetic pitches are okay, but in the top flight, it's not okay. And if we have to subsidise, you have to agree to rip up your synthetic pitch and get grass in because it's not for our top level.
I think we were chatting about this when Livy played, was it Inverness in the Scottish Cup, and it was the same situation. Both teams agreed that it wasn't worth the cost. But refresh my memory, Andrew, how does it work then? If it's, say a Rangers going to Livy today and Livy say, we don't want VAR, it's not, you know, doesn't make any sense to us in terms of cost, but Rangers are thinking, well, we do want VAR. Who does the cost fall on?
Because then
you got to agree, you know.
I think so. I think you have to agree, and unless Rangers were willing to stump up the cash and just pay.
But surely it shouldn't fall on the away side to stump up all the cash.
I think if they can't agree for it, then they just wouldn't have it.
Right. See, again, that seems unfair, and that puts both clubs in an unfortunate position where it should really be taken out of their hands that either we've not got VAR for the first couple of rounds until the quarterfinal stage or the semi-final stage, or every game's got VAR in it because it makes that level playing field across the board.
In Brighton, there's a 13-year-old jumping up and down with his Japanese flag because Mitoma has put Brighton 1-0 against Wolves.
And Cove Rangers are 1-0 up against Montrose. Roomand Burrell with the goal for them.
Brighton's a team you want to sign for at the minute, because yeah, there's every chance you're going for about 80 million in a couple of seasons. Mitoma will be the next one.
I would never go near Brighton as long as I lived again.
Why?
That's what ended my Manchester City career.
Oh?
Yeah, I played at Brighton.
At the Goldstone Ground?
Is that what it was called, Old Ground?
Yeah.
I was dynamite that day, Hugh. I'll never forget it.
Why your career ended then?
Because Big Billy didn't agree with me. He didn't think I was dynamite. And I had a poor game.
He's criticised himself the day, Andrew.
I was like Matondo in the second half. I didn't get the ball. First half, the left back was all over the place, right? I was playing wide right, not my natural position.
Did Big Billy think you were a word that rhymed with dynamite?
Yeah. And he told me after it, he gave me it for terrible. I'll never forget that Brighton pier.
was it just that game? Was it all going swimmingly before that? Yeah,
and the Brighton pier, it was nearly going swimmingly. And they make him on way up the road
on foot.
They never even got on a bus, Hugh.
Was that how bad it was? Time over at City.
That was it. I knew the time was over. Billy and I just didn't see eye to eye. But I totally agreed with him. I wasn't up to my standards. And when you let your standards
where
go.
Where did you go for City then?
I went to the Partick Thistle.
Yeah. Nothing against Thistle, but what a drop that is.
I had to come back up the road, and it wasn't good time in my career at that time. And you know, I was a playboy.
Man City to Partick Thistle.
I mean, Man City weren't the powerhouse they are now. Still
massive. We played Leeds at what do you call it? Pre-season. Main Road, and they were
that's a hard start for you.
There were 50,000 for it. It was
not the top league. Was
League
it
One
the,
we were in at the time.
League One, so that's
Chelsea, Leeds, and teams like that. It was unbelievable. Do you know what the problem was? You went down there. I was big time at the time, you know. and I didn't behave properly. I was out and about.
Can imagine.
You know what, like, it was a couple of quid in a pocket, you. You've got to go.
Waste is the word I'm looking for.
Yeah, on the dance floor.
On the dance floor. Waistcoat. You were a waistcoat man when you went
when
out
I should
to the
have been on the training ground. I was on the dance floor. Oh, I don't know why the clubs were open at 10, 11 in the morning.
Finished fourth season.
Yeah. See,
in the old second division.
Right. Big read out some of the teams that was in that league, Andrew. Let's see who he was up against.
Chelsea won it.
Newcastle and Sheffield Wednesday finished above Manchester City, as did Chelsea, who won the league season.
Oh, yeah. And
there was also
show.
Blackburn, Brighton were in there as well. You've also got Grimsby and
Grimsby. A difficult away
Cambridge United.
Cambridge.
The boat team.
Oh, that was the worst, because they always won the boat race. They were full of confidence by the time
they were powerful. Good finishers.
Yeah, but some good teams there, some good game. We finished fourth. Yeah, look, it was just one of those times that things went wrong.
If you live in Hamilton and you support the Accies, you're beating FC Edinburgh 1-0 at the moment.
Kyle McDonald with the goal for Hamilton. There was also a bit of a comedy moment at St Mirren. Alex Gogic going up to take a throw-in just fell over, tripped up as he went to take the throw-in.
Do you know why, Andrew, Luton and Burnley has been postponed?
Not sure, actually. I need to look that up. Well, I have not seen that. Although that does remind me that earlier on there was a headline I saw of Jafet Tanganga, who's at Tottenham. And the headline was saying that he's deliberating between whether to go on loan to Luton or Inter Milan. It doesn't seem like much of a...
No.
I know Luton are a Premier League side now, but...
You ever been in Luton?
I
there should be no doubt whatsoever where you go. If it's Luton or Milan...
Where's
is it because Luton's ground is still getting renovated, I think, so they actually can't play any home games at the moment.
Right.
Now, for... So if that was here,
if you've got a choice between San Siro and a ground that they can't even play games in because it's under construction.
If that was in Scotland, we'd be saying, oh, look at our league, we kind of get that sorted out. That is in the richest league in the world.
Yep.
And they're having to postpone home games for renovations.
So right now they only play away games.
That should be getting more criticism than I've actually seen. I've not seen anything about that.
Ground share, can they not ground share?
I think they're just...
What's the nearest to Luton?
Well, any of the London ones, really. There'll be quite a few.
But that doesn't matter. I mean, how much time have they had?
They're only there for a season. Anyway.
That's all you know. Cheap flights in there, Luton.
Apparently, it's now deemed sufficient to hold Premier League games, but there's still work going on. So their next home game is scheduled to be on Friday, the 1st of September, against West Ham. But we need to wait and see whether it goes
ahead. Is that the ground that you go through? Is that a house in a state?
Yeah, it goes. Yeah.
I did. Need a bit of work, actually.
Brighton took four off them last weekend. They're only there for a season. They'll go down with a record low number of points. They're hopeless.
Well, let's hear a bit from Michael Beale, shall we? While there's not too much action happening, here's what he had to say after the game today.
I thought we started the game well with good energy. We created big chances and didn't take one, and then the game sort of petered out to half time. We spoke about that at half time. And obviously the VAR decision right at the start of the second half, and you find yourself 1-0 down and you think it's going to be one of those days. But after that, I thought again we got back to dominant. Jamie's had to make a couple of saves and we're through. So it's been a long week. Obviously we made 8 changes to the team to give some people a go. I thought Cifuentes was very good again today. And now it gives us a chance to train with a majority of the group fresh tomorrow and Monday into Tuesday. So in a way, the plan of being through and not playing everybody has worked.
The plan has worked. Hugh, is that good enough?
I would take issue with some of what he said. Cifuentes?
To be fair, Alex said he would have been his man of the match, so maybe there's something we're missing on the TV.
He did, against all our expectations, he did, Michael Beale, say, we're through. You know, but I do not think it's good enough for the Rangers fans. I'd like to hear from a fan at 5 o'clock. Now, we've got Michael Beale, which I think is, generous assessment of what went on. I'd like to hear a Rangers fan at 5 o'clock say if he agrees with Michael Beale, who admitted that at one point he thought it was going to be one of those days.
I'm not having as well. It's been a long week, and you know, we're through. You had to travel to Geneva you know, it's not like they've had to go 5,000 miles for a round trip and they're playing the same players that they've played, and you're asking players to go to the well deep into the season. We're just out of pre-season. Michael Beale's got a big squad. He's rotated 8 players. He knows fine well the performances have to be better. However, if he keeps coming out and saying it, then it spins on him that fans will begin to say, well, why aren't the performances getting better? So he has to be careful. And I think he's been cagey there with his assessment of the game.
Last week he also said it was a long week when he was explaining away Livingston.
And I tell you what, there's going to be a lot of long weeks coming up, because whether Rangers get into the Champions League or the Europa League, they're going to be playing Tuesday or Wednesday, and then Saturday or Thursday, Sundays for quite a long time.
I think his assessment is generous, and I can understand why he's gone down that road, because if he comes out and says what he truly feels, it would make for great headlines for newspapers, but not for the Rangers fans 3 days away from PSV Eindhoven.
Clyde 1, Peterhead 1, an equaliser for the visitors. Connor O'Keefe with the goal. Just think Sunderland go 1-1 with Rotherham there. Goal from Job Bellingham.
Yeah, brother.
Younger
of.
Brother of Jude Bellingham.
Yeah.
Do you think he's a bit jealous of his brother?
I mean, he's only 17, Joe Bellingham, so he's got plenty of time to
He'll be
to
at
develop
Madrid
as well.
In about
yeah?
5 years as well. Yeah.
Oh.
Good footballing family. That Bellingham started
to be fair,
well
Bellingham went from Birmingham to Borussia Dortmund, and his brother's gone from Birmingham to Sunderland. It's not quite
the parents must have a new house, surely.
Oh, yeah. Several.
Yeah, you bring up your family and they make it in the big time. Do you ever buy your mum and dad a new house?
No, I just paid for the rent, council.
Mad of the people.
No, I didn't even do that. Speaking of my family, give my dad a shout. It's my old man's birthday today. So
how old is he?
Happy birthday. It's, I think he's the same age as you. What age are you?
He's not the same age as me.
62.
No, he's 62. I'm a lot younger than 62.
Hold on, we went out for your 60th 2 years ago.
No, you know.
So you must be 62.
Your calculation's wrong. We 62. Went out for my 60th 1 year ago.
Are you 61, are you?
61, yeah.
Gordon DL is 62 in March.
Are you okay, Andrew? Right, I don't get your details
in the programme.
Why don't you just redo my phone number while you're there?
01.
It'd be even worse if you read it out, just no one phoned or texted them as well.
Yeah. Oh, don't you worry about it, blow up.
That phone's red hot as it is already. It's never off it.
St Mirren well on top at the Smyza Stadium. You'd think, is there a chance potentially for Micah Beerith to come on at the break? Motherwell not having much luck in the final third.
Big surprise for me. He wasn't on from the start. I mean, he made such a dazzling debut. You have to suspect that there's the famous wee niggle involved.
Unless he's just getting up to speed. He's maybe not had a clean pre-season. He's had a move to Motherwell. Maybe they're just sort of easing him into the
scores
team.
Scores a goal, has a good week training.
I think they'll just look at the same impact, Hugh. I agree. I was surprised he wasn't starting, but he come on, he made a terrific impact. The substitution was the right timing. So I think the manager looked at this away from home today. If we need a good impact, if we need something to change and give us a lift, this is certainly going to be the guy. I like the look of the lad. I've only seen him that short time on the TV. And I think that it'll go on to be a good signing for Motherwell.
Read out the teaser again for us, Hugh.
Yeah, of course.
We've got it, Hugh.
Hold on now. Can you name the top 5 highest scoring Scots in the English Premier League, which, as you said, Andrew, started in
1992?
So there you are.
A few guesses on Twitter. I'm seeing a lot of correct answers. People doing well out there. Kevin McCleave says Brian McClare.
No,
not there.
He says Graham Souness.
Graham Souness, top goal scorer.
Gordon Strachan and Robert Fleck, he says as well.
Not a chance.
No,
we've got
it. We've got five.
All five
in the bag. What? Top of the leaderboard.
Watt has got it. Wilson and Dale.
Yeah, there's quite a lot of correct answers. Frank says Gordon DL must be on the list.
No. Oh. 19. I was near there. 19. What year? 19 what?
92. You missed all the big cash.
Started,
I know.
You
missed
Wraith.
Yeah. I was winning cup finals against Celtic.
83-84 season was when you were at Man City.
Were you really?
My last game was Scottish Cup final against Aberdeen. I wasn't good in that one.
I saw that one.
No, I've not had a good career.
I tell you what, there's been a lot of self-awareness from you today. You've
It's in a reflective
quite critical of, yeah.
It's a long day. There's no point.
Everything alright at home?
No point sugarcoating it. You've just got to come out and tell the truth. Sometimes you have your ups, sometimes you're, are you good days, bad days? Today's a bad day.
Okay.
Happy Saturday, everyone out there. Dumbarton 0, 4-1. Seb Ross with the goal half an hour into that game, so they've got the lead away at Dumbarton.
Try to sign him as well. That did was you? The old conversation that that extra few quid just wasn't enough to tempt him to breaking.
What was, do you know something? I know we've got a wee lull here. What was your pitch to players to say, I want to
come
go
to breaking?
Yeah, I want to go and sign with breaking. Oh, you should see the hedge, it's trimmed.
In the main street. There's a lot happening in the main street. We'll put you up in this lovely hotel.
No, the fact,
two star.
Listen,
you're handy for Dundee.
Just off the A9, close to Aberdeen, close to Dundee.
Did you not come out with it? Look, I've played in the Champions League, I've played with Celtic, I've won this. I'm could pass on my experiences and help you progress as a player.
That's cheap talk.
No, the main street's
quite
good.
You have to sell the town.
You should see the wee coffee shop.
Six bookies in it. It's only 100 yards long. It's got six
apologies
bookies.
To the good people of Brecon out there if anyone's listening.
Listen, don't go. It's rubbish.
What a coffee shop.
There's nothing happening in it at all.
Just as well you're not looking to go back, because I'm not sure I'm you'll not, be welcome.
No, I won't be. I won't be.
East 5-0, Stenhouse Muir 1, Gregor Buchanan with the goal. An interesting one in the Queen of the South Annan game as well today, because it's father against son. Willie Gibson and his son in opposite teams. Willie Gibson starting, his son is on the bench, because Willie Gibson managed him last season, didn't he? Queen of the South.
Of course, mm-hmm. So they did.
Now up against each other. They're still trailing Marvin Bartley's side. Bonnyrigg Rose are ahead against Stranraer. It's a Neil Martinuk penalty 32 minutes into that game.
He was back to being insufferable on Beat the Pundit during the week.
The big man.
He had a good five, you didn't
aye.
He? Aye. Good performance from Marv.
He had a good win last Saturday as well.
There should be a question in next Wednesday's. What was the Annan Queen of the South score at half time?
Who scored the own goal?
Yes.
I'm sure, unless he's blocked it out. You never know. They've come back to win before. Could happen again.
Yeah. Yeah, certainly. I'll tell you what, there's always goals when Queen of South are playing. Mm. If you look at them,
Effie's had a few OGs in his time, hasn't he?
That's a good. How old did he be, Mark? You played with him, didn't you?
No, I didn't play with him. I missed him. But he's a fair age. He must be about 36 now. 37.
Can he still do that? Can he still do that flip over, or what it's called? What's it called? The flippy over.
Oh, the back flip when he scored.
The old flippy over.
Can he still do that?
He's had an interesting career path, Effie Ambrose, and how he's then decided to stay
the
here.
The fact he's just settled in Scotland, you look at the clubs since he left Celtic. Hibs obviously went down to Derby, I don't think played for them, but then Livingston, St Johnston, Dunfermline on loan, Morton, Queen of the South.
Yeah, he's getting through them. Yep. Obviously, loves the country.
He does, yeah.
He's been up and down. I mean, some poor performances for Celtic on the big stage, but he always just had something about him that Neil Lennon liked and kept him about the club for.
Roger Hanna saying that Effie Ambrose, Marvin Bartley was in the Sun today, saying, you know, talking up Effie Ambrose.
Oh, then he goes and scores an OG. Brilliant.
Oh, he's got a reward. He's put the
player
back
coach
in,
as well. Does a bit of coaching for them.
Oh, does he?
Yep.
That is awkward then at half time. And the managers.
I honestly was about the training part yesterday trying to find them. Couldn't find them. So they must.
Are you just hanging around training grounds?
No, hold on. Hold on.
You need to get a hobby.
What did I tell you? He's trying to get back in somewhere.
I know, it's the games first. It's now the training grounds. I apologise.
It was Thursday. I came out of David Lloyd's, and obviously I'm getting his body in shape for the winter. And I went to decided to go and see Big Marvin training, and I could not find Queen of South. And you're wondering why they're one down? Well, for me, Alta.
Thursday's a relatively common day off for some teams, isn't
Wednesday,
it?
Wednesday, all day.
You couldn't find them in the gym?
No, I couldn't find them in the training pitches. I know where they train. So I went round there to have a look and have a few words with them. But encouragement, a bit of team support.
That's weird, Denny. Any of the South fans listening will be thinking, oh, wonder where they are.
There were 10 guys in an indoor five-a-side pitch playing their bellies. I'm going, they've, tell you what, they've let themselves go this Queen of the South.
A penalty claim for Motherwell. Casey, a header blocked, but no VAR. Willie Collum says no.
Not like Willie to be involved in controversy?
Well, I think that'll still, there's still goals in
go that. The distance, that one?
Yeah, do. I think that's apparently true all day long.
I think St Mirren, the way they've started the season brilliantly, and you think losing O'Hara as well, what a big blow that was going to be for them, but nah, doesn't affect them. Your mate, what's he called again? Munsey.
Boyd Munsey. Boydie Munsey.
Stepping up to the task.
Yeah, Boydie Munsey.
This is him really hitting his stride though. He came in January, Caelan Boyd Munsey, and didn't play much football towards the end of last season. But Stephen Robinson really said at the time it was with a view to him, you know, getting a new contract in the summer and then becoming a more regular player.
Where did he come from?
He was down south. I think it was Middlesbrough. He'd been at for a good while.
That's where, you know, guys who can find you players in the unlikeliest of spots, they're worth their weight in gold, because he's obviously come in and hit the ground running for St Mirren.
Yeah, he came through at Glentoran. He's another of the Northern Irish contingent at St Mirren. He was at Birmingham, Middlesbrough, so clearly showed some quality to be picked up from Glentoran to go to Birmingham, and then Middlesbrough didn't quite make the cut there. 23 years old, hasn't played a lot of football in his time, but, you know, a regular for Northern Ireland's under 21s. It's the potential, really, that I think Stephen Robinson was excited by.
Well, that's the kind of area where you've got to shop. You know, Ryan Leake has come in for Ross County and immediately made a difference to them, defensively speaking. So, you know, they're doing their work properly by digging up players like that.
Conor McManaman, he one that came through Northern Ireland as He looks good. Did you spend a bit of money on him?
Yes, it was a sort of quite a long, protracted process to get him over to St Mirren as well. I think he and his agent made some sacrifices to make the deal work. Prolific over in Ireland.
Ooh, all of a sudden, boys.
Yes, we have another one of these. Goal flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy. Airdrie 1, Ross County 2, and no surprise that it's Callum Gallagher that's got the goal for Airdrie. He got plenty of goals last season and he's continuing his form into this season as well.
Yeah, good goal scorer for Rhys McCabe. Him, you know, depend a lot on him, but he comes up with the goods more often than not, and that just keeps that game alive. Daz is hoping for an equaliser.
What was that you were saying, Hugh, about Ryan Leake shoring up the Ross County defence?
Yeah, I've done him in. Mo Salah took the huff last week when he was taken off. Now he's put Liverpool ahead 2-1 against Bournemouth at Anfield.
Did you see his drop?
I couldn't disagree with him, because
were you one of those when you get substituted off that you would
let's
throw
just
a bit
stop
of a
you there? I didn't get substituted off. So I come off if I've scored two or three and I had enough, usually around the 60 minute mark.
Just to bathe in the applause.
Just to get applause and wave to the fans and pump the chest to the badge. I didn't know what badge it was. I wasn't a real fan. I think if you've got if you feel that you've contributed, then I think you do in the spur of the moment. But once you get in and you're sitting there after a game and you're looking at what happened in the game, you think, well, it was for the benefit of the team.
Just on that Airdrie goal, it was a brilliant run and cross from Adam Frizzle and a close range finish from Callum Gallagher. Kelty Hearts 1-0 up against Alloa as well. Ross Cunningham from the penalty spot.
That's a surprise. Alloa started not too bad. Scored 4 a couple of weeks ago away from home against Marvin's Queen of the South. Kelty Hearts, not the force they were. I remember a couple of years ago, Kevin Thompson had them playing some good stuff, but found it difficult.
Renamed their stadium?
I did. New Central Park. I got done with that and beat the pundit here. He can't just be adding words.
He jumped in the old Cowdenbeath.
Who would you have said there, Hugh?
Central Park.
Who plays at
New Central Park? You'd say Cowdenbeath, wouldn't you?
Yeah. No, it's Kelty Hearts.
They've just chucked New in front of their no imagination.
Oh, we're back.
With M&D Green Pharmacy. Almost some harmonising in there. Airdrieonians 1, Ross County 3. They didn't have that one goal deficit for long. It's back to a two goal deficit, and it's Simon Murray with the goal, 3-1 to Ross County.
He's looked good at the start of the season. I was impressed with him again at Celtic Park. A hard shift up there, but he made it difficult for the Celtic back line, and he's on the score sheet this afternoon. Malky Mackay will be happy. But when he came in, I think he's taken a wee bit of time to get used to that side, but it's a good guy to have up top.
Certainly
for you.
A good response from the county, because Airdrie would have had a great lift from getting back in the game, 2-1 at home. But I agree with Mark. I think Simon Murray this year, the start he's had of the season has been very good indeed.
Yeah, it was a long ball from James Brown, and Murray with the outside of the foot finish to make it 3-1 to Ross County. They're looking good at the moment, potentially, to join Rangers and Aberdeen in the hat.
Colourful career, Simon Murray, who ended up in South Africa at one point, but scores goals wherever he is, whichever country he is in, and he is certainly making his mark in Dingwall.
You know what, that's for any young player, you know, taking a step back to go a couple forward, him coming back and go to Queen's Park, and everyone, well, me included, thought, well, he's going to stay in and around that level now, but to then step back up to the Premiership, well done to him.
Yeah, they do have some firepower in that team as well. Eamon Brophy, Jordan White. Yep. They've got some good options, probably options that teams round about where they're looking to finish in the table would be envious of.
Last season, Malky Mackay, when he had that transfer window, he had to make a move and get things right, and he decided to go for firepower up top. Now, didn't he work right away, and he had to scrape through the playoff system, but it might just come good now into this new season.
Cove Rangers 2, Montrose 0. Scott Williamson putting them 2 ahead.
I fancied Cove this season. I've got them to win that.
Oh,
league.
You have.
I predicted the same. Yep.
Did you?
On what evidence?
Norse stuff, Andrew.
I thought they signed well. I thought.
Yeah.
Transfers in.
Name three players
good.
I've signed.
Paul McGowan was a big one.
Silly one, he knows.
He was a big one, and he got sent off.
They shine well. I don't know who they shine, but they shine well.
Let me tell you about something that you'll find a lot more interesting than that, and this will be interesting for you at home as well, because you could win a team at the Big Scottish Golf Day. Do you like the sound of that?
Oh, I love that, yeah.
Yeah, you could play at the King Robert the Bruce at Trump Turnberry alongside Super Scoreboard as we take on Ewan Cameron and Stephen Mill from the Big Scottish Football Show. All funds raised from the event will go to Cash for Kids to improve the lives of Scottish children affected by poverty, illness, neglect, or who have additional needs. You could be there. The prize includes a round of golf for a team of four with tea, coffee and bacon rolls on arrival, and a set 2-course meal post-golf in the Champions Suite as well. To enter and to make a voluntary £5 donation, text GOLF to 84901. Texts are charged at the standard network rate plus your £5 donation, 100% of which will go straight to Cash for Kids. You may opt out from making a charitable donation. You'll need to be 18 or over to enter, and full terms and conditions can be found on our website. You're playing across the Hitch Radio Network in Scotland, and lines close at 4 o'clock on Saturday 3rd of September.
And we are actually playing them? There's only one winner there.
Who are we playing against? Stephen Mill.
I've seen playing golf.
Oh, by the way, right, is Ewan Cameron involved?
Yeah.
Ewan was my partner. We were invited down to Loch Holman Golf Club, right? And prestigious golf club. You're lucky to get on there, right? And that brilliant. Until I got there and I found that Ewan was my partner. And I looked at him and he had all the golf gear. I thought, this could be actually quite good. I didn't know he played golf. He didn't play golf. It was horrendous.
Hold on a minute. See the moral of this story? He slaughtered Ewan Cameron for he'd all the golf gear. Do you know what his caddy says to him? Go on, tell
well
him.
I was lucky enough to be invited back this summer, Andrew, and we're playing away, and you're lucky enough to get caddies. I've only had caddies twice in my life, the time of Ewan and this time. So I get to know the guy's a Celtic fan. We're trading some stories, and I'm asking him who he's caddied for, and he's telling me all these big hitters and stuff. And we get probably about 9 holes in, so he's getting a wee bit familiar with his caddy's name's Ryan. He hands me the clubs and he says, I've got to tell you, in all my time caddying here, these are the worst set of clubs I've ever carried in my bag. The old Nike slingshots.
He's got a driver too.
A driver that Daz gave me that's not even legal now.
It's not legal.
And he says, by far the worst I've ever carried in my entire carrying career.
That's quite some feat.
That is.
To be the worst.
imagine rocking up at a golf course like,
see when they handed me the Donny sandwich when I was in the bunker. He nearly passed it.
Since we're on the golf team, let me say quickly a great, great thanks to John Hartson, to Frank McAvaney, to Ian Durant, to Charlie Miller, who turned up we've got a relative who needs £250,000 to go to hospital to have special treatment. He's only 4 years old. And the guys turned up on Wednesday at the Carrick and they raised £20,000.
Brilliant.
Well done.
Brilliant.
So John, Macca, Charlie, Gerandi, thanks a million.
Great stuff.
Good stuff. I did see that. Did they have the Celtic stripes and the blue top on?
It was called the Old Firm Ryder Cup.
Yeah, it was. Looked good, Hugh. Well done to the guys.
Invite missing in the post for that one, Mark.
I didn't get the show.
I took one look at your clubs and thought, no chance.
Yeah.
So I need to upgrade. So if anybody is getting rid of their old clubs,
Nike, please give us a phone.
Get in touch. The worst clubs he's ever carried. Yeah. What about that? I think so embarrassed.
I think we are close to half time. So let's wrap this one up, first of all, Hugh.
Just one of the things. The first half teaser with the ScottishSun.co.uk/football. The best football news and opinion online. I just wondered if they included Brechin in the worst clubs you'd ever had. But the question was, can you name the top five highest scoring Scots in the history of the English Premier League? They are, with 68 goals, Big Dunk Ferguson, with 56 goals, Kevin Gallagher, 53 goals, Stephen Fletcher, 49 goals, Gary McAllister, and 37 goals, Don Hutchison.
I knew that everyone at home would be good at that one, and they were. Quick off the mark, third place on the podium, Robbie Boyd. It was Andrew Ross in second place, but the quickest, Dylan Patton, who got their top of the podium.
It's always on the podium, eh? That's a name that just dies, always there.
To be fair, we got it, so we're happy with that. Contribution's good.
Yep. There we go. We'll see if you can get the Who Am I?
Feel
for
confident.
The second
maybe.
Half. It's a good one.
Yep. Is it?
Yeah, looking forward to.
Who is it?
Was that not one day that Alex Ray just gave it away?
Yeah, Alex shouted it out.
Ian Wright.
Ian. It was Ian Wright.
Yep. To be fair, he shouted out about 15 seconds after I'd said the question, and it was the quickest shock ever.
We should be close to half time. I tell you what, we are. It is half time at the Smyzer Stadium. David Friel.
Yes, Andrew, half time. St Mirren 1, Motherwell 0. St Mirren have 1 foot in the quarter final thanks to a Caelan Boyd Munce wonder goal. We thought this was a really close contest. We gave it a big build up, but to be fair, St Mirren have been well on top so far. Motherwell have been totally out of sorts. It's not the team that we're used to seeing under Stuart Kettlewell, and they will need to be a lot better in the second half to salvage anything from this game. St Mirren have been in really good form. They started with their usual purpose and scored the opener in 9 minutes. Boyd Munce, he's only in the team due to Mark O'Hara's injury, but he is taking his chance. A really composed player, really cultured player. The ball fell to him 20 yards out after the St Mirren attack, and he found the top corner with a brilliant drive, an absolutely thunderous effort into the top corner. What a goal it was. Motherwell did have a couple of attacks, but St Mirren have always carried more threat. Mikael Mandron had a weak header saved by Liam Kelly. Keanu Backus, he put one over the bar, then put one wide. Motherwell captain Liam Kelly, he spent the first half basically shouting at his defence. He's been raging and he's made his feelings clear. Motherwell's Dan Casey did have a penalty claim turned away, handball by Willie Collum, and with no VAR news today, it didn't get checked. As I said, Motherwell behind, St Mirren on top. Motherwell actually haven't had a single shot on goal, so don't be surprised if we see Mika Biret for the second half. Half time, St Mirren 1, Motherwell 0.
Yes, half time at Livingston against Ayr United as well, Dave Galloway. Oh no, I think it's actually still in play there. We'll go to him shortly. There is 1 minute added in that game. I think there was a late goal as well for Peter Head, who have come from behind. They're now 2-1 up against Clyde, Hugh.
Yeah, well, the minute added on will give Dave time to finish his burger, and then we can get straight to the football.
That's it. We've not sent him anywhere that's close to a wimpy this weekend. Well, won't be getting his fix.
Must be a wimpy in Livingston.
I think there's not only two in the country, I think. I don't know, let's go to Dave and let's actually hear about the football, shall we? Livingston against Ayr United, half-time.
Yeah, certainly no wimpies here, unfortunately, but it's Livingston 1, Ayr United 0 at half-time, Andrew. Livingston took a 12-minute lead with a very well-crafted goal. Curtis Guthrie picked out Christian Montano, who fired in across to leave Newbley with a simple finish. Good stuff there from Joel Newbley getting on the mark. Ayr United responded positively. They had claims for a penalty rejected after a ball into the box. And veteran winger Aidan McGeady showed good control but failed to bother Shamal George with his efforts on goal. At the other end, Stephen Kelly tested Robbie Much with a 25-yard free kick, but that was just about it. A bit disappointing overall. It's been a pretty even and well-contested first half. Some decent build-up play from both sides, but just one shot each on target. Hoping for a more entertaining second half, but at the interval, Livingston 1, Ayr United 0.
It's also half-time between Airdrie and Ross County. Lindsay Heron.
Yeah, half-time, Andrew. Airdrie 1, Ross County 3. County looked like destroying the Diamonds in the first 12 minutes with two quick goals, and they should have had a third. But almost in the way that Airdrie came back into the game, they might have even got level before half-time. However, they still faced a two-goal deficit coming out for the second 45. Kyle Turner's been excellent for Malky Mackay's side. He's settled so well up for the Staggies, hasn't he? And he fired them in front with a lovely curling right-foot shot, which gave Josh Ray no chance after a lovely 1-2 with Simon Murray. Then Turner was the creator as he worked the ball to the byline on the right side, picked out Jordan White, and he couldn't miss really from close range, and that was the Staggies' two goals up. Sims should have scored a third in 12 minutes when Murray teed him up 16 yards out, but he scuffed his shot from the central part of the penalty area, and the Diamonds really looked to be in danger of being completely blown away, but they came storming back into it. Jack Baldwin nearly sliced McGill's cross into his own net. There was a dangerous moment for Ryan Leek when he was dispossessed by Adam Frizzell, and then it was Frizzell who set up a goal for Airdrie 9 minutes before half-time. Brilliant run across the box, swivelled to drive a low ball into the middle, and Callum Gallagher slammed home from close range. The home fans thought this was the revival on, but crucially, County restored their two-goal lead 2 minutes later. James Brown's long ball found Murray, and he finished clinically with the outside of his boot just before the break. Half-time here at New Broomfield, it's Airdrie 1, Ross County 3.
It's half-time around the grounds, and you know what? Why don't you give us a call as well? Let's open the lines. 0141 951 1025. Rangers fans, maybe you've got some thoughts on that performance against Morton. Maybe Celtic and Kilmarnock fans or Hibs and Hearts fans want to look ahead to tomorrow. Let's hear from you. 0141 951 1025.